Welcome to the Nuclear Medicine and Molecular Medicine Podcast. Episode 26, Imaging PTSD. Thanks again to Bronwyn Cleary for helping out with the podcast, one of my colleagues who did interviews at the EANM in Munich, and I much appreciate her help with this one. This podcast episode really covers a really unusual topic, and again in the podcast we've emphasised the importance of nuclear medicine evaluating therapy. Well, this is an unusual therapy. A novel therapy that's using eye movement as part of the therapy for PTSD, which is quite unusual. But what's really unusual is the use of nuclear medicine to evaluate the therapies. And it's very difficult with a lot of psychotherapies in particular to actually objectively produce a measure of outcome. And I think this is where nuclear medicine can help, and particularly in the areas of brain imaging where there is a limited amount of nuclear medicine work being done. And I think this is an area that really, really could expand into. I think the functional MRI has covered a lot of new things, but there's still a place for nuclear medicine in imaging, particularly where you're looking at a response to therapy and where you're actually measuring something before and after rather than during. So I'm sure you'll find this very interesting. So without further ado, we'll go straight to talking to Dr. Marcos Pagini, and he'll be talking to us about neurobiological changes in post-traumatic stress disorder following treatment with eye movement desensitizing and reprocessing. And I think a very interesting therapy and a very interesting treatment. And some of you may be familiar with this technique, but it's certainly gaining a lot of interest at the moment. So before further ado, let's get into the interview.
Doing this. I just listened to your talk on the correlations between regional cerebral blood flow and structural and neuropsychological parameters in PTSD. If you could just start by introducing yourself and telling us a bit about your background and where you work.
My name is Marco Pagani. I work for the Italian Research Council. I'm a senior researcher there. Since we are a pure research council, we do not have hospitals or patients, so I did a PhD in nuclear medicine physiology in 2000 in Sweden, and I still have students and a lot of colleagues sending me psychiatric cases from Karolinska, and then I have collaborations in Japan, in Italy, with several centers, always in the field of neuroimaging.
Mm-hmm. If you could just tell listeners a bit about the presentation you gave and a bit about the study.
Well, the study is in line with a lot of studies just now have been performed about more ecological post-traumatic stress syndrome. Previously, as I told in the presentation, post-traumatic stress syndrome was almost related to war veterans. Now there are a bunch of studies concerning post-traumatic stress syndrome in civil life. And this was the case in our study, in which we analyzed from the beginning more than 300 train drivers that happened to, by accident, to kill somebody during their working time. And we finally identified about 50 of them that could, in which we could perform blood flow and MRI studies. And then among those, there were a number of drivers that developed PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and another number of drivers that did not. So we compare the two groups.
Okay, and what sort of method did you use in the radiopharmaceutical?
Well, the method is to let them listen to their own description of the event. So during the description of the event, they have the same symptoms that they usually have, if any, when they think backwards to the event itself. And during the listening of the event, we injected a rather pharmaceutical that is proportional to the blood flow in the different brain regions. Mm-hmm. So the assumption is that if the brain cortex is activated during the remembrance of the event, during the autobiographical description of the event, this causes changes in the cortex between subjects that do have PTSD and subjects that do not have PTSD. And the radiopharmaceutical we used is a technetium 99M HMPO. It's a very worldwide used blood flow tracer, and we use the SPECT, single photon emission computed tomography, to detect the changes in the brain.
And you also correlated that with other neuropsychological tests, is that right?
Yes, part of the diagnosis and part of the follow-up of the patients is to administer to them neuropsychological testings. We concentrated on these two very simple tests that are self-administered. So the patient is just given the test and he answers questions. Is the impact of event scale and the well-being test. And we found in general that patients with PTSD, they had the higher scores on impact of the event scale in the last week, and they have a lower well-being score. Actually, what is really interesting in the study is that these two tests correlate, once you take all together the 33 subjects, to the cerebral blood flow exactly in the same regions in which the cerebral blood flow differs between symptomatics and non-symptomatics. So this is a very good evidence that the test works. Actually, it's a very effective test in post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And you can assume that in those regions that are mainly limbic regions, insula and inferior parietal cortex, is a place in which the disease is, of course, increasing the flow and in which the test is processed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And what do you think could be the implications of this sort of study for patients that have PTSD?
Well, the first implication, I mean, is very well known that groups of patients with different PTSD, let's say traumas, getting PTSD from different traumas, they might have a different blood flow in the cortex. But I think the most interesting implication is that these two tests can be used in the future very simply as, to diagnose and to follow up the outcome of therapy after PTSD. So it could be a kind of screening test without using so, let's say, complicated. I would not say really invasive, complicated diagnosing.
Sure. Thank you very much for speaking to me. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao. Bye.
That was very interesting. I think one of the implications of this kind of testing is that it's really something that can be done cheaply on a large scale, providing you've got the right software and adequately trained people. Nuclear medicine equipment is a lot cheaper and a lot more available than other methods of brain imaging, functional brain imaging, and really could apply it across a large group of people. Now, given the large numbers of people who really have the potential of suffering PTSD, people who have experienced traumatic events, and there's certainly a lot of traumatic events happening around the world today, it's important to be able to identify these people, especially as there is effective therapies that really do make a difference. So by identifying people and then identifying the therapy and seeing how well that works, then I think that that's got implications for nuclear medicine. The particular therapy here is by basically when speaking to people, by getting to relive the experience that they've gone through, and then applying on top of that a desensitization by applying other experiences to it. And then by watching their eyes, you can see whether they're reliving that experience or not. It is a skilled technique, but it's a useful technique and a fairly benign one in that they can use relaxation methods, safe place exercises, cognitive restructuring. It's where they put themselves in a stronger position and are able to cope with the memory of what happened to them and basically reframe that memory in a new way. A very interesting approach, and I think it's quite interesting that our techniques using fairly simple equipment, I mean, we're dealing with HMPEO and a gamma camera for SPECT, is able to pick up that detail of changes in thought patterns, and it just goes to show this is a very strong biological basis to a lot of these problems. Now that was very interesting. I've got another one next time when from the EANM. But I'm really short of good interviews. I'd really appreciate if you get in touch with us. Go to molecast.com if you want to get the feed, or to iTunes and type in nuclear medicine. Or if you want to look at the text, the show notes, and other details of the feed, then go to newcast.com. But I'd appreciate any help you can give us, particularly if you can, any offers of interviews. The other people I'd like to talk to are people who organise your CPD. If they could get in touch with me, maybe there's some way we can collaborate to improve your ability to get CPD points by listening to the podcast. So until next time, it's cheerio from me and good scanning. Bye.